Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Tuesday, the 23rd of April, 2013. It's the birthday of William Shakespeare. Happy birthday, Mr. Shakespeare. The Buckmaster Show is live each weekday, noon to 1 on AM KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice and Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. We're live streaming the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and we podcast the program, making it very easy for you to hear us anytime, anywhere in the world by visiting buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. All carry the program, and we have links on the home pages of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, gvnews.com, and the homepage of Blog for Arizona, blogforarizona.com. On today's program, we'll get things rolling with Beth Gorman. Ms. Gorman, the Pima County Department of Environmental Quality Senior Program Manager, will be talking about Tucson's air quality. 20 minutes past the hour, he has a big smile on his face. That means the market's looking very good. Tuesday Moneymaker Report with Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner. That's coming up in about 15 minutes or so, and then we'll close out the show with our Blogger Beat contributor, David Safir of Blog for Arizona. If you have a question or comment, we invite you to join us. The Buckmaster Live line is 790-2040, or you can post a question on our Facebook page. Well, those high winds a couple of weeks ago spawned huge dust clouds, causing Pima County to exceed federal air quality standards for the first time in nearly 4 years. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line is Beth Gorman. Beth is Senior Program Manager for Pima County's Department of Environmental Quality. Beth, how are you today?
I'm very well, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing real well, and curious about these exceeding the federal limit. How much over were we? I guess in Green Valley it was the worst, huh?
Green Valley was hit very hard. And in the Tucson area, we exceeded the standard, which is the standard is based on 24 hours of data, of hourly data, and it's averaged together. Tucson, the highest was about 190, and the standard is 150. And then Green Valley was 440. So, you know, almost triple the standard. So very, very high readings. We've actually never had readings that high.
Are you saying those were record readings then for Southern Arizona?
They were. That Green Valley reading was extraordinarily high. And, of course, we did also. This was a huge system that came through from California, and there were elevated readings all up and down the state. And especially in the southern half of the state, the storm came through, brought in dust from the desert, California deserts, but also any loose soil, any disturbed land, dirt roads, vacant lots, and any of the construction sites or mines, you know, all of that disturbed land contributed to the dust levels that we had here.
Did the mine tailings from the two mines there adjacent to Green Valley and Sahorita play a role then in that?
We think it does. We haven't done any kind of analysis of the dust, but we think it does. Any kind of disturbed land under those conditions, those high winds, would put off some dust. But we also know, too, from the Weather Service and from the information that we've gotten from the U of A, that this was a huge storm that also brought in dust from other regions.
This was kind of bringing in the change of seasons. The spring-summer air pollution season really started off with a bang, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. What is the difference with the winter season and the spring and summer?
Well, during the winter, we have different weather conditions. We tend to have higher levels of carbon monoxide. There's also sometimes we have higher levels of particulates because we have these very, very strong inversions where the cold air comes down the mountains and traps. in the overnight and in the early morning, it traps whatever pollution we put into the air. So if we've got our fireplaces going, if we've got our heaters going, our car engines, all of that pollution is going to be trapped in that cold, still, stagnant air close to the ground. So we tend to have problems during those types of problems during the winter. Then as the weather changes and we start having strong, sunny days, very hot days, then we start having a different pollutant, and that's called ground-level ozone, and that's developed when we've got the right weather conditions as well, but also with the different types of pollutions combining together in the presence of hot, strong solar radiation.
Can folks monitor, how often do you take air pollution readings in Pima County?
We're taking them all the time. You name it, and we're taking them.
24/7, huh?
Definitely, 24/7. And people can access that data on our website. There's a website, it's called airinfonow.org. That would be the URL to get there. You can also access it from our website, the Pima County Department of Environmental Quality website. Just over on the side column, there's a little icon for Air Info Now. And they can go to that, they can get up to the hour air pollution information, and they can even dig a little deeper into the site and get specific monitoring data from a monitoring site that's close to their where they're living.
How would you say, other than the event that we had in early April, overall, how has air quality been this year?
Well, overall, it's been really well. It's been really good. We have great air quality for a community our size, and it's just we have these periodic problems, sometimes due to weather conditions, but other times due to human activities. I think I sent you a graph that showed what happened on New Year's Eve, which
yeah,
is that, kind of interesting. Did you see that?
Yes, a huge spike. I guess everyone wanted to fire up the fireplace.
I'm wondering. We don't know. Again, you know, we don't have the resources to do analysis, but it could be the fireplace. But the thing is it's just during that 1 hour around midnight. So I'm thinking that fireworks may have contributed to that as well. But we had a very high spike of very small particles in the air. But then it calmed down and the rest of the day was fine. So sometimes it's human behavior that causes these problems with our air quality, and sometimes it's our weather.
Beth Gorman is with us. Beth is the Senior Program Manager for Pima County Department of Environmental Quality, and I know Beth is very excited about April's Bike Fest. We have so many bicyclists in this community, and there have been all sorts of activities, correct?
Oh, yes. The Bike Fest has been going on since the beginning of April. We've had over 21 different activities going on, and we've still got, if you haven't participated yet, you still have time, because this weekend's going to be a huge event.
There is also that Air Quality Forum coming up. Is that open to the public?
Yeah, it is. That's on June 18th. It's going to be at the library, and this is the first time that it's really being open to the public. And people can get information about that if they contact Pima Association of Governments. And I want to make sure that people get to our event this weekend on the 28th. It's the Ciclovia event, where they can have fun in the streets, and they can dance, and they can listen to music, and it's going to be a great time.
So where is that going to be again, the event on Saturday?
It's on Sunday, April 28th,
yes.
From 10 to 3, and we're closing down the streets from the Dodge area down Blackledge, and then down to Mountain and Glen, and then kind of over to the Keeling neighborhood, which is near Fontana and near Stone Avenue. So there's some streets that are going to be closed off. It'll be easy to get around, though, with your vehicle, but people can come out. They can bring their kids. They can ride their bikes. They can walk. They can listen to music. They can go bird watching. They can dress up their bike. They can take a Zumba class. There's just all kinds of really fun activities going on.
Beth, can you take a quick call from one of our listeners? David has a question for you about dust.
Okay.
Go ahead, David.
Aggravating our dust problems is two things. Excessive amount of development. When developers scrape the desert and put up housing developments, a lot of times they leave it that way, like an example. On Twin Peaks Road, they're going to put in a huge development called Swirl Springs, and then the real estate market crashed, and they just left it there.
That is a problem.
That's a big issue, just leaving huge piles of dirt.
And the other problem is the proliferation of these ATVs. They destroy the desert pavement, and then it gets loose, loosens up the soil, so when the wind blows, it creates more dust. Right now, there's a bill that's going through the legislature that would say that state wildlife officials cannot regulate ATVs on areas that are restricted by federal law, which would increase the activities of these vehicles, which loosen the soil and then create more dust. I forgot the number of the bill, but it's going through the legislature to
make it
more liberal for these ATVs to go around the desert.
Got to run here, David. Thank you very much. Beth, yes, those piles of dust are dirt are problems, aren't they?
They are. And people, you know, if they're seeing excessive dust, dust crossing property boundaries, they can call our department and submit a complaint, or they can do that online as well.
Okay.
And we'll check it out and get inspectors out there if it is under our jurisdiction.
Linda, real quickly on the Buckmaster Show live line. Go ahead, Linda.
Thank you. I have a question, comment, and a suggestion. Beth, thank you for your time on this program.
Sure.
What I'd like to see happen, if possible, if there could ever become more PSAs put out to encourage the American public to value clean air once again and to avoid excess engine idling, because like I live in East Central, and I notice there's a lot of that in air pollution. We get hit, you know, I'm talking like Country Club, Grant, Glen.
Okay, Linda, so you'd like to see more PSAs about improving our air quality.
And to encourage drivers to care, because it just seems like there's a lot of apathy about it.
I think, Beth, that's part of your job, and I know you try to do that, right, Beth?
I really love that suggestion, and we do. We've had funding cuts, unfortunately, but since the majority of our air pollution is caused by our motor vehicles and the use of those motor vehicles, whatever we can do to try to drive less, but certainly turn the engine off and to avoid unnecessary idling is really key to that as well. So I really appreciate your comment, and we'll try as we can to put out those PSAs.
Thank you, Beth Gorman, for joining us. Have a great day, Beth.
My pleasure, Bill. Take care.
Beth Gorman, Senior Program Manager, talking about air quality with us. She is from the Pima County Department of Environmental Quality. We're going to talk about the financial scene with Shelley Fishman. That's coming up next.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Why should you fly at a TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Since 2006, the RTA has completed more than 500 projects, including 180 miles of bikeways and more than 50 bus pullouts. Current projects include La Cañada from Ina to River and the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars have created more than 2,500 road construction jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA is delivering our promise to you.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Well, my recommendation is the gentleman seated right to my left for any financial advice, and it is Shelley Fishman. Shelley, the market is doing very well. Last week was kind of, it was a bad week, I think, all around with all the bad news out of Boston and then the disaster in Texas.
Double, toil and trouble, and I'm trying to be very Shakespearean today.
Yes, on William Shakespeare's birthday, you are the bard of the financial scene in Tucson. So it's been a pretty good day today anyway.
Yeah, we're up 130, 140 points. All three indices are up close to 1%. Brings us back to that 12-10-8 ratio we had at the beginning of last week, with the Dow up 12 for the year, the NASDAQ up 10, and the S&P up 8.
And your prediction for the year was 12 to 14.
12 to 14,
so we're right there. But whether that can be sustained, I would imagine we're going to have some roller coaster days.
Absolutely, and the roller coaster will be caused by several things. Some actually part of the business cycle, and some of it is just going to be manufactured by the disruptions in Washington and potentially elsewhere in the world. But what we saw last week is kind of a natural process of pulling back, consolidating, and then moving forward. And so long as those movements result in a net zero from where we are right now, we'll have an awfully good year.
The corporate profits, how closely are they tied to the equity markets? How important is it?
Oh, gosh, wonky question. That's a really great question. Okay, so the price of a stock, the price that you should be willing to pay for a stock, is the present value of all the revenues, including the sale of that stock, that you will get from now until the end of time or until you sell it. So if you sold it in 10 years, you would discount it back to today's dollars. You take all the dividends, if there are dividends, and that's the value of that stock to your portfolio. Okay? Big pension funds, all of the large, you know, you and I, when we buy stocks, we don't do that kind of calculation. Mm-hmm. But the pension funds do, and the large the large mutual funds do that when they make decisions about what stocks to buy and what stocks to sell. So you've got now large computerized models showing the managers of those funds and exactly what they think that stock should be worth in their portfolio. And that's the academic model for how a stock is evaluated. Now, when you have a stock market that's looking at profits and dividends and looking at what potential growth is there, then when you have good profits from a stock, as we're seeing today, for instance, some very, very nice profits from companies like Netflix, Coach and DuPont especially, you're seeing that the calculus to determine what that stock should be worth and therefore whether you should put it in your portfolio, that gets reworked, okay? So the market very much uses those models, those analogs, if you will, to determine where it's going. And while you and I don't necessarily do those calculations, the big fund managers do. In addition, there's one other thing. I hope I'm not running too long here, Bill, but in addition, every quarter, the chief financial officer, the CEO of public companies, will get together with the analysts from their segment and make forecasts. Mm-hmm. Now, the analysts then go back to the companies they work for and say, well, based upon these forecasts, we should either include this stock in the portfolio or not include it, et cetera. If a company doesn't meet its forecasts, that really can get funds in trouble. If it exceeds its forecasts, then, of course, that creates demand for the stock. So the price of equities is very much tied to those quarterly forecasts and the actual quarterly results. I can't tell you how important they are in terms of determining where that market is going. And when you take a look at, with all the problems we have in the economy now, you take a look at corporate profits, and for various reasons, they are ahead of where most analysts believe they probably should be. And as a result, this market is on fire.
That's what I was going to ask you. Are we running ahead of what the expectations had been for this year?
Oh, absolutely. The expectations for the year in terms of profits had been fairly modest. I mean, my own company, LPL, forecasted a low single-digit movement in the markets.
I remember that when you were having your advisors meeting up in Phoenix, and you were very optimistic with your prediction, and then LPL had a very low prediction. And as I recall, after your last advisors meeting in Phoenix, there was a revision.
There was a revision, but it wasn't a massive revision. It was, you know, we got to take a closer look at this, and we're maybe a little bit more optimistic, but nobody was saying 14%, Bill. And, you know, I may yet prove to be wrong, but when I see all the forces in the economy, and when the thing that troubles me is demand. If demand stays low, then corporations that have geared up for growth are going to have to cut back. And we saw some of that in the first quarter. Now, let's take a look at what April brings in terms of employment and in terms of new factory production. But we're beginning to, for instance, we've had the hottest new housing market just announced today since 2008. While it was still a bubble. So what does that tell you about demand, and what does that tell you about how hot this market and how hot the economy potentially could be? I just hope that our policymakers don't do anything to artificially slow it down.
Shelley Fishman with his Tuesday Money Maker Report. We're winding it up with Shelley. And meanwhile, sequestration continues. I guess it's just become something everybody's going to live with.
Well, it's going to slow the economy by about 0.5%. And I think the anticipation of sequestration and the anticipation of having, what, $80 billion less in the economy this year caused the people, the decision makers and corporations to put the brakes on for a while. They said, look, it doesn't have to kick in. Mm-hmm. It's the anticipation of it kicking in that makes decisions 2 and 3 months earlier happen.
Shelley Fishman, thank you very much. Shelley, have a great week.
You too, Bill.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Insurance products offered through LPL Financial or its licensed affiliates. Investment and insurance products are not NCUA insured, not credit union guaranteed, and may lose value.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Federal officials say the Boston Marathon bombing suspect's medical condition is improving. Jokhar Tsarnaev had been listed in serious condition today. His condition's been upgraded to fair. It's likely he'll be facing more charges in connection with the attack. U.S. investigators have traveled to southern Russia to talk to the parents of the two Boston bombing suspects. The latest indication that Libya's central government can't stop the country's slide toward lawlessness. A car bomb today targeting the French embassy in the Libyan capital wounded two French guards, as well as a Libyan teen. Authorities searching for the stepson of a Washington, D.C. police detective who was shot and killed at his home Monday night. Wall Street, the Dow up 148 points, the Nasdaq ahead 35. More details at srnnews.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1-, 2-, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
Looking for a cool getaway this July? I highly recommend historic Bear Mountain Lodge, just minutes from the picturesque heart of Silver City, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Bear Mountain Lodge sits on 178 secluded acres nestled against the immense grandeur of the Gila National Forest. Check out this lovely high country tranquil oasis at BearMountainLodge.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. It's 12:34 on the Buckmaster Show, the Tuesday edition. We want to urge you to visit Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Walk through life as it was in the
1100s at the Cliff Dwellings National Dwellings just north of Silver City. And when you're in historic Silver City, visit the Western New Mexico University campus. They have the finest collection of Mimbres pottery in the world at that museum there on the campus. It's certainly worth the 3.5-hour trip over to Silver City in Grant County. Plenty of places to stay. Good places like Lake Roberts Motel, Spirit Canyon Lodge, Faywood Hot Springs Resort. All of it's available on their fine website. All of the information is available at southwestnewmexico.org. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show, our blogger beat contributor is now official. I have extended an invitation, and he has gracefully accepted. David Saphir of the award-winning blog for Arizona. David, good to see you.
Thanks for having me on.
And thank you for accepting to become and joining. And you know, it's a fine list of contributors. These are 24 people who appear at least once a month in this program. We're very proud to have that kind of pool of people that we can pull from.
Very good group. I'm going to have to see if I can pull my weight amongst those heavy hitters there.
Political news at the top of the agenda. This thing with Al Melvin, Senator Melvin announcing... Well, he can't officially announce because he'd have to resign, I guess, as state senator. But in January, he will officially announce that he is a candidate for a governor of Arizona on the Republican side. Where did this come from, David?
Well, I'll say as preamble here that I'm in LD-26, which before redistricting was Melvin's district. So I've been following him carefully from his first failed campaign and through the other ones. And if someone asked me, what will Al Melvin be doing next? I would say either disappear or become part of some kind of an interest group, or maybe hop into as a legislator, as a representative instead of a senator. Governor, I never would have imagined. As an English teacher, the word hubris comes to mind because I don't see how he's a viable candidate. The only thing good I can say about Al Melvin, who is not one of my favorite characters, is I think he honestly believes everything he says. And because of that, sometimes he'll leave the reservation. He'll do things that the others don't like. I don't know if you know, at one point he was called a nanny state Republican, and that was because he advocated making sure that kids can't ride in the back of pickup trucks and things like that. But on the other hand, he wants to bring nuclear waste to Arizona. I think it's a terrific idea to set up a nuclear waste dump here, reprocessing the material and leaving basically 7 times as much low-level radiation as the stuff you reprocess. The guy is...
He's very... I will say this, and I agree with you. He's very honest about, you know, he believes in what he is proposing. And one area I do very much agree with Senator Melvin on, David, is he's... I don't know if a lot of people realize this, but he's very much into animal welfare issues.
Yes, I do know that too. Yeah. And, you know, he does oddball things. He voted for the road tax a while back, and he says that's the only time I voted for a tax. And basically, I think the reason is it hurt his tush riding around in the roads here. So he was voting, in a sense, with his tush on that. And otherwise, he's against taxes. He couldn't sign up on the No New Taxes pledge until the next term because of that. He's an odd guy, but I think, and from my opinion, he's dangerous to have power in his hands because there's something rather megalomaniacal about him, and something about him where I don't get the sense that there's a human being behind that, and that's very frightening to me.
Well, he certainly will have an uphill battle because Secretary of State Ken Bennett on the Republican side, Tempe Mayor Hugh Hallman, I'm not sure if he is the current mayor or the former mayor, have formed exploratory committees. Others looking at the race, State Treasurer Doug Ducey, who I believe is scheduled for this show next week. We're going to have Doug Ducey on, and Mesa Mayor Scott Smith. Before we leave the L. Melvin announcement about running for governor, it's curious that his two issues, one of them has to do with an area that you're very familiar with, about education vouchers.
Yeah, Al Melvin has been strong about this. He's very strong in his view of education. He'll deny what I'm saying right now, but he hates public schools. He really does. He loves the idea of privatizing everything in government, but especially privatizing schools. He has this skewed notion that we spend $9,000 per student, and you can come up with those figures, but it's based on things that have nothing to do with students. It's more like $7,500 we spend per student. And he wants to give $9,000 to every kid in Arizona and let them spend them at private schools. And one thing I'll say about private schools, among others that are problematic, is 70 to 80% of private schools in Arizona across the country are religious schools. That means the voucher money is going to go to religious schools. And as Howie Fisher said this morning, it's unconstitutional.
David Safir is with us. He is the Blogger Beat contributor. David will be appearing once a month on a regular basis here on the Buckmaster Show. While we're talking about education, as far as a state superintendent of education, we haven't had really an educator in that position, David, for 30 years. And there's someone that you brought up in your blog, David Garcia. Who is this, Mr. Garcia?
David Garcia, I had the pleasure of sitting in this very same booth with him a couple Saturdays ago on an education show. He's a guy who is an associate professor at the Teachers College in Arizona State University. He's very, very, very bright. He's very, very kind of vivid and energizing. He really knows his stuff. And I actually had sent him an email and said, how long has it been since there's been an educator? And he sent me an email back saying the last one was in 1995. That was the last educator. So it's about 28 years. And before that, the woman who was the superintendent of education before that was the first ever non-educator. So we've had a string of non-educators in that office, which I think as an educator is ridiculous. You don't know what really goes on. Everybody who's been through the fifth grade is an expert on education, except you're not. You think you are because, you know, you've never been a policeman and you've never been all these other things. You've never been the governor, but you've sat in classrooms. Anyway, this guy has a wonderful bio.
That sounds like somebody we should book on the show.
Oh, absolutely. He'd be a great interview.
So was Lisa Graham Keegan an educator? You mentioned it was
To the best of my knowledge, no. She was a state senator.
Okay.
She was the one who was responsible for the charter school bill, and right after that, she hopped into the superintendent's office, and one was the one for responsible for implementing the bill that she pushed through. Well, a couple more things about Garcia. He's a native Arizonan and grew up in Mesa and went to public schools there. He was in the U.S. Infantry. He actually was an associate superintendent in public instruction here and was a research analyst in the Arizona State Senate, in the Education Committee. So he understands how the wheels work. I'm very, very impressed. I have to say, by the way, he's running an exploratory campaign, or he's got an exploratory committee going on. He hasn't officially thrown his hat in the ring.
Yeah, it's kind
but
of.
I hope he does.
Everyone's in the exploratory mode right now,
right,
including the Mr. Bronovich, Mike Bronovich. I'm not quite sure how that name is pronounced, but he is the heads up the state gaming commission, and he is considering giving Tom Horn a challenge in a GOP primary.
I saw that, and I'm going to have to plead ignorance because I just read about the guy
a
couple
days
ago.
I really had not heard of this guy.
I don't know about him either.
Yeah. This might be a good time to take a break because when we come back, David Safir has some interesting ideas about a university high school here in Tucson, and we will continue with our Blogger Beat. If you'd like to join us on the Buckmaster Show live line, you have a question or comment, something perhaps you do not agree with David about, he would be glad to hear from you. 790-2040, 790-2040. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
West in La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever, with a $30 million resort rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and soon a new pool area and enhanced fine dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you, completing more than 500 projects and creating more than 2,500 jobs since its inception in 2006. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony? Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by the City of Benson. This is a very big weekend in Benson. It's one of their signature events here, the 8th annual Bluegrass Festival in the Park. And that will be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Lions Park. And Benson is not that far away. In fact, it's only 45 minutes east of Tucson out on I-10. And if you go over there, and I hope you do, there is something literally for everybody in the family. The kids are going to have a chance to explore bluegrass with hands-on experience. There's going to even be a kids' stage performance. But if you're into bluegrass, please check out
the lineup. They've got performers coming from all over the country, and the complete schedule is on their fine website, the Benson Visitor Center, and it is Benson Visitor, not visitors, but singular, visitorcenter.com for the full lineup for Benson's 8th annual Bluegrass Festival in the Park. David Safir is with us from Blog for Arizona. Blogforarizona.com was named the best political blog in the state of Arizona by the Washington Post recently. And David's going to be doing our blogger beat. He's going to be a regular once a month coming on the Buckmaster Show. David, you had in your column this week, a column about creating a university high satellite school. Had this been proposed before, or is this something that...
Well, if it's been proposed, I haven't heard of it. What happened was that there was a very good article about University High. Let me mention something about it. It's a nationally rated high school. Tucson Unified School District gets a lot of flack for a lot of reasons, sometimes justified, sometimes not. But it has one of the finest high schools in the country, a high school you have to test into. And so it has very, very high energy and high intelligence and high motivation kids. And literally, it's been listed number one at U.S. World and News and World Report and high schools, and 2 and 4. Anyway, it's bursting at the seams right now. It's located in Rincon High School, which is, it shares the building, which is down on 5th and Swan, I think, mm-hmm. or something. And right now, this year, 176 students from outside of Tucson, from neighboring districts, have applied and been accepted to the freshman class, largest number ever. Now, this is really a feather in their cap when people from Vail and from Foothills, Catalina Foothills, are going to register in a Tucson school. That tells you something about the quality. Well, the school is getting too large. The only reason it was able to expand as it did and still have all the Tucson students who qualified was because Rincon is actually shrinking. So it occurred to me that it's necessary for it to grow. And rather than growing in one place, I thought, what a wonderful idea to be able to have it in a number of communities. And I thought, because of the number of schools that have closed recently, literally the buildings being emptied out, what an opportunity to take one of those buildings instead of letting it lie fallow, remake it for a high school, put in terrific science labs and computer lab, and make it a math science emphasis school. Make it different from, so it's equally attractive or more attractive for some people. It's not a sense that, oh, I've got to go there because I can't fit in the other. And I think it would be wonderful. I especially think it would be wonderful if it was in one of the low-income areas, preferably an area with lots of Hispanic population, because then it would be bringing, in a sense, academia into those neighborhoods, making this a neighborhood school. Lots of pluses to it. And it kind of sprung in my head as I was walking in Sedona, Arizona. There's nothing like blue sky and red rock to stimulate the thinking.
It gets all the cobwebs out.
Oh, absolutely.
It? Well, University High bumped off my alma mater, New Trier Township High School in Winnetka, Illinois, as the number one high school, public school in the country. Hmm. So, I mean, I'm telling you, University High really is the real deal.
Oh, absolutely.
David Safir. Now, what about your blog on BASIS Charter School? Got a lot of, there were a lot of comments about it. What were you saying about BASIS?
Well, BASIS is a charter school. It also is listed often number one as one of the high schools in the country. By charter school, that means kids can apply for it. They have to accept everyone who applies. It gets government funds. It's a public school, but it's not part of a school district. And I've always been curious about some things about BASIS and a little bit wary of them. And I went back and looked at their attendance numbers and put this on a blog post and found out that of the sixth grade class, 1/3 of the class graduates as 12th graders. So as an example here, at BASIS Tucson, class of 2012, had a graduating class of 33. It's a small school. Mm-hmm. Had a graduating class of 33. When those same kids were sixth graders, when they were 11 and 12 years old, there were 100 kids in that class. Hmm. And the big jump happens from the eighth to the ninth grade. There's a 50% drop-off. And the rest of the drop-off happens from the ninth grade to the 12th grade. So what they're doing basically is they're turning the screws on these kids academically, saying either you can put up or get out. I don't think they expel the kids, but if anybody's been in a high-pressure academic situation where they know they don't belong, where they know they're either going to flunk out or go home and have a nervous breakdown every day, they're going to get out of there. So BASIS has managed to create its stellar reputation by giving a stellar and very, very concentrated and high-pressure education to the number of kids who can make it.
Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. We have Jim with us. David, you'll need to slip on your headset there so we can hear. Jim Kelly is with us. Jim, go ahead. Good to hear from you.
Hey, good to talk to you again, Bill, and good afternoon, David. Hey, listen, you know, I like the idea of another university high. My problem is that you can't parachute into a poor neighborhood and say, look what we brought you. It has to be organic. And by the way, there's a great deal of intelligence and talent in those poor neighborhoods. They just don't get the opportunity because of the redlining that goes on with the zip codes around here. I know a prodigy in the Sunnyside School District. There's no programs for her. We have no Juilliard type of a program for her at all. So I think it has to be organic within the neighborhoods. They have to say, this is what we want, this is the standards that we want to be at, and this is where we want our kids to go. Because parachuting in doesn't work, David. It just doesn't. It'd be disingenuous.
Okay, thanks, Jim.
It's a very reasonable comment, and I think it is a problem where you kind of almost as patronizing, you say, we're going to bring the goodness to your area. But there's another wrinkle in this thing, and that is a recent desegregation plan that was handed down by the federal courts to TUSD, said you have to raise the percentage of students who are both Hispanic and African American in university high school. That's one of the edicts. Right now they're down about 25% or 30%, I think, and there are 60% of TUSD is Hispanic. With that kind of an edict going on, there's going to be a real question of how you do that. You can expand the ways that people, the admission, to make it tests and other criteria. You can say a certain percentage, the highest 5 or 10% of a class, for instance, gets automatic admission from every school. There are lots of ways to do it. Now, if you say this school is going to be in a community, and I agree with you very much, Jim, you get the blessing of community leaders. You don't just impose it on them. You say, do you want something here? I think it would be phenomenal. Imagine if kids from a middle school who are not in an area, you know, they're not in one of the schools that are one of the highest academic schools, could actually audit a class at a school a mile away. A bus comes, picks them up, and they audit a class in Algebra 3, audit a class in biology. They see the best that can be offered in American education, and they are told and get some student to mentor that person. If you can do this too, this is what you should be striving for. Here's where you should go. You get the best kids, and this is going to be something that'll be phenomenal for them. And if they go to that school, they'll be going to a school in their neighborhood. They won't be bussing across to the rich part of town. They'll be going down the block a mile or two. This is a phenomenal opportunity. And one thing I might add, by the way, is other people I've talked to about this said, you know, we've got room in some of the high schools. And it may be better to set it up there. It certainly would be less costly. And I think that is a very promising possibility, too. But having it in more neighborhoods, having more nodes, more satellites, and bringing it closer to more students, I think is a terrific idea.
Meanwhile, TUSD, in the middle of their search, we had John Petticone on our Friday Focus interview. David with us on Friday, and Dr. Petticone said that he will be sticking around at least perhaps beyond June until they really get a handle on who they're going to be bringing in.
He promised he would not walk out until
there
they have
go.
A new superintendent. Yes, and that's what he should do, obviously.
And I strongly suggest, if you haven't seen the op-ed piece from our friend Dr. Robert Hendricks, who is the Buckmaster Show contributor on education, check it out today in the Arizona Daily Star. He pretty much laid out what he had talked about on our show a week or so ago about three or four types of people, David Safir, who apply for these jobs.
Oh, yeah. Having seen a lot of superintendents,
I
knew every type. It was almost like he was doing a stand-up comedy routine by talking about these people, because I laughed all the way through the op-ed. It was great. Very accurate.
Very accurate. David, thank you very much. We'll look forward to your visits with us here on the Buckmaster Show.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. The Buckmaster Show thanks Culligan Water, bottled water on our program provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. Culligan providing the water, and we really like it. All of our guests like it, and who wouldn't? It simply tastes better. Coming up tomorrow on Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe, the editor of the Explorer News, Thelma Grimes, will be on the program. Mike Fader with the Tucson Padres. The Padres, I guess, are undefeated. They're 6-0 so far, so they're off to a fantastic season. Also, local libertarian Yale Wishnick will be talking about the Fair Tax Plan. That's on Wake Up Tucson tomorrow morning. And then John C. Scott, the Dean of Local Talk, he comes up at 3 o'clock here on KVOI, 3 to 5 this afternoon. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Hope you have a great afternoon. We'll be with you tomorrow. We'll have an interview right at the top of the program with Tucson's Mayor Jonathan Rothschild. We'll spend a half an hour with him on the Wednesday edition of Buckmaster. Have a great day.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.